Okay, I first want to give a tremendous hakaras hatov to Menachem for the past couple of months. It's really was an amazing undertaking that anybody to prepare one shiur. If anybody has ever prepared one shiur, one knows how long it takes to prepare 2 months worth of shiurim. It was really something. So we all everything I've heard about it, they've said it's tremendous, and you should go mechayel achayel. Okay, let us pick up. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to me. And Kuf Yud Gimel Amabes. Kuf Yud Gimel Amabes, towards the bottom. We've had a lot of different discussions in Mesech HaShabbos, and we continue finishing up Eluk Sharim, which is the first half of the Perek. This has to do with Mesech HaShabbos, about the Kshira, all the different types of Kshira, the Daraisas, the Darabanans, the ones that are Mutter. And now, we got off on a little discussion. We had a three-way Machlokas Amoraim previously, so we're going to have another three-way Machlokas Amoraim with the same names, by the two dots on Kuf Yud Gimel Amabes. V'tachas kvodo yekad yikod kikod. It's a pasuk in Yeshayo, which is referring to the Sancheriv Melech Asher. The story in the Navi is the Sancheriv brought all the armies around Yerushalayim, and his advisors say, why don't you get rid of Yerushalayim? He's like, oh, it's such a small city, don't worry, I'll take care of it, I don't have to rush, it's okay. And the Navi describes how overnight, hundreds of thousands of his soldiers didn't wake up in the morning, because there was a Malach Hashem that went through and destroyed all of his armies. So the Pasuk is referring to what will happen to Sancheriv. V'tachas kvodo yekad yikod kikod. Okay. So yekad yikod kikod means a fire. The question, the machlokas between the following Amoraim, is what does v'tachas kvodo mean? So says the, I'm sorry, I left out a word. Yekad yikod kikod esh. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. V'tachas kvodo v'lo kvodo mamish. Rabbi Yochanan, as referring to Rabbi Yochanan that we had on the previous Amid, which the Gemara will cite in a minute, Rabbi Yochanan says, V'tachas kvodo v'lo kvodo mamish. Rabbi Yochanan understands the word tachas to mean under, which as Rashi explains here, tachas can mean two things, either under, or sometimes you say tachas, ze tachas ze. So what does that mean? That means instead of, bimkom. Rabbi Yochanan says the word understands the word tachas to mean under. V'tachas kvodo v'lo kvodo mamish. Rabbi Yochanan l'taimei, the Rabbi Yochanan kari l'mane mechabdosai. And we put this together with the Rabbi Yochanan that we had on the previous Amud, where Rabbi Yochanan says kvodo is a reflection, and it means clothing. So v'tachas kvodo means under the clothing, where so therefore Rabbi Yochanan says that it means under the clothing. The body is under the soldier's clothing, so therefore the body was what was burned and turned into fire. Tachas, under, kvodo, clothing, as Rabbi Yochanan says, kvodo does not mean kvodo mamish, which we're going to see means the person's body, but it means the person's clothing. What's under the person's clothing? The person's body, which was burned. That's what Rabbi Yochanan, how he interprets the pasuk. Rabbi Lezer Omer, no, the tachas kvodo mamish. As Rashi explains, that tachas according to Rabbi Lezer means lashon chalipin, which is as we usually otherwise translate tachas, bimkom, instead of, as a substitute. So, tachas kvodo, it means instead of his kavod, instead of the person's body being there. Kvodo does not mean clothing, according to Rabbi Lazar. It means his kavod, his tselem elokim, his kavod. So, instead of that, what was left there was yikod kikod esh, fire, ashes. And that's how Rabbi Lazar interprets the pasuk. Tachas kvodo mamsh. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, and the way Rashi explains this third opinion is that this is a composite shita. It's like a pulling together of both of the previous opinions. Tachas kvodo kisreifas bnei Aharon. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani understands tachas like Rabbi Yochanan, which means under, but he understands kvodo like Rabbi Elazar, which means the body itself. So under the body, which is the neshama. The neshama is inside the body. So it says, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, these soldiers were killed like the death of Mises bnei Aharon, which was what? Malahalan sreifas neshama v'gufkayam, afkan sreifas neshama v'gufkayam. Just like there, the body was kayam, stood, and the neshama was taken out, so too, that's how these soldiers were killed. Okay, there's the three different shatim had on this in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's interesting, I saw the why Rabbi Yochanan here, and also in Amman Aleph, why he's the one that makes a big deal about clothing. Rabbi Yochanan, the time, because Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said, oh, these clothing are mechabed me. That's when the Iyun Yaakov, one of the Mefarshim in the Iyun Yaakov says, maybe it's because the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a beard. Yochanan didn't have a beard. He didn't have the hadras panim, which the Gemara talks about, or the Gemara says is a beard. So because he didn't have that, he kind of had a substitute, so he had a focus on the clothing in order to keep up this, the standard of Talmidei Chachamim. So that's why he has the that's why he had a focus on the clothing. I thought maybe you could say just the opposite, because if you remember the Gemara we had in Brachas on Daf Chaf, Rabbi Yochanan was the one that used to stand in front of the mikvahs, so that all the women could look at him, and he says, "Oh, okay, I'm a handsome guy," and he was Yefei To. Rashi says Yefei Mara. They got the lashon of Rashi there on Daf Chaf. So it was just the opposite. Maybe he didn't have the beard, but he was a handsome person. So maybe even though he has this natural. He was naturally handsome, but still, maybe Afal Pikein, he focused on the clothing and took it seriously that a Talmid Chacham should dress properly and should dress nicely. So maybe you can say just the opposite, but either way, it's Rabbi Yochanan who's the one that focuses on the clothing. Okay, last line. Amar Abacha Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin L'Shini Begadim Min HaTorah. How do you know this concept of Shini Begadim Min HaTorah? What does that mean? Rashi says, Shuderach Kavod L'Fnei HaMakom. How do you know that it's proper when you're doing something special in front of the king, you know, you're supposed to change your clothes? How do you know this? We find this in a number of places. We have this clothing for davening, hikon we had. But how do you know you're supposed to change clothing when you do different things, different levels of service? Shnei Amar, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Tzav, Ufashat es begadav v'lavash begadim acherim. When the Pasuk describes, besides the actual avot in the Beis HaMikdash, there are quasi avodos that aren't one of the four dalet avodos. The dalet avodos are shchita, kabbalah, holacha, zrika, shechting the animal and then accepting the dam after the shechs, and then walking the blood to the mizbeach, and then the zrika. Those are the four main avodos. But then there are extras. The Gemara even says shchita lav avod. Maybe shchita. Holacha. Shchita, whether it's an avoda or halacha is an avoda, but those are the four main avodos. But what about, as the Torah describes, there's a mitzvah to pick up, to be meirim, ashes that were burnt from overnight, and do what's called hotzaas hadeshen, taking out ashes from the mizbeach and putting it outside off of the mizbeach. That was a mitzvah, as the Rambam describes, that was done every day. So is that called an avoda? So the Gemara in Yuma has a discussion of it. Do you need big de kahuna for it? Does the kohen have to do it? What is a zara allowed to do? What is a kohen allowed to do? So these psukim, the psukim in Pajisav, describe that before one does the hotzaas hadeshen, before the kohen takes out the ashes off of the mizbeach onto the eastern side of the mizbeach, he has to change his clothes. Ufashar is begadav, he takes off his clothing. V'lavash begadav macher, he puts on other clothing. V'tana dever b'shmael, and b'shmael tells us, L'medcha Torah derech eretz, begadim shebishal behed kederah l'rabo, al yibzog behed kos l'rabo. The begadim that you cooked a pot for your master, in other words, the begadim that you wear in the kitchen, don't go out when you serve the master and you pour him the cup of wine, you don't wear the same clothes. Meaning when you're cooking and it gets dirty and stains, and so that you wear one level of clothing, but when you do the higher level of avoda, then you wear another level of clothing. So to here, even though it's in the opposite direction, once you do the avod, if you do the main avodos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Mizbeach, then when you change your clothes, when you do the Hotzaas HaDeshen, then you have to change your clothes. Fine. That is the Gemara, the source, how do you know, Shinui Begadim. Rashi, interesting, when Rashi in Parshas Tzav quotes this, Ufashat es begadav v'lavash begadim acherim, so Rashi says, Perek Vav Pasuk Dalid, Ein Zu Chova. It's not a chova. Don't think this is an obligation. You have to change your clothes before you do the Hotzaas HaDeshen. El derech eretz shelo yilach lech botzaas HaDeshen begadim shelo hu mishamish behen tamin. That you shouldn't get the clothes that you do the Hotzaas HaDeshen with. You shouldn't get them dirty and then serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those same clothes on. And then it quotes our Gemara begadim shibish behen kdeir l'rabo amimzoi kos l'rabo. So Rashi says ein zu chova. Doesn't say it's a chova. For other Rishonim, it sounds like it is a chova. You have to change your clothes. Maybe the svara is that it's based on this idea of derech eretz, but really you have to change your clothes. There is a problem with the sheet of the Rambam when he quotes this Gemara. In Hilchos Tevidin Musafin, when the Rambam quotes this, it seems like the Mefarshim say that he kind of makes up a pasuk or quotes a conglomerate of two psukim. The Rambam quotes in Perek Beis, Haramas Hadeshen Me'alam Mizbeach B'chol Yom Mitzvah Saseh, Shenemar Veheirim Es Hadeshen. Says the Rambam, lifting up, harama, like Trumas HaDeshen. There's two parts of the service that we were talking about. There's lifting the Deshen out from the Mizbeach, and then carrying it off the Mizbeach, out to the side of the Mizbeach. Those are two parts. There's something called Harama Sadashen, there's something called Hotsa'a Sadashen. So when the Rambam discusses Harama Sadashen, he says, this is an Avoda, Mi Avoda Sakahuna, Ubigde Kahuna Shetorim Bohen Adeshen, Yubchusin Milakalim Shemeshamish Ben Bishar Avodos. The Begadim that the Rambam, that the Kohen does Shruma Sadashen with, has to be different than the ones he does the rest of the Avoda with, and he quotes, Ufashadis Begadav Lavash Begadim Acherim, the Heirim is Adeshen. You should change your clothes, and then Vehirim is Adeshen. So if that was the Pasuk, then that would make sense, that the Rambam says, even for the Haramas Adeshen, you have to have different clothes. But if you look in the Torah, if you look in the Pasuk in Parshas Sav, the Pasuk that the Gemara and all the Rishonim are referring to, Haramas Adeshen is before this Pasuk. Only Hotzas Adeshen is after the change of the clothes. The Torah says, he wears his special clothes. That's talking about the big day kahuna. And then he picks it up. And then the very next pasuk. So if you read the psukim and the gemara, it sounds like the whole, what gets you dirty? The hotzas adeshen. That's you have to carry it out for a little while outside the machane. But the Rambam puts the switching of the clothes before the haramas adeshen, which is the previous pasuk, and he like puts together two different psukim. So it's a big problem exactly what it means. That the Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer has a piece on it, but the Mari Kirkus, one of the Rishonim already asked this. He says, he quotes this line of the Rambam. He says, "V'yish l'hachshus b'divrei Rabbeinu shezeshen omar l'tzas adeshen nayin l'tzaso." Right, if katzur Rabbeinu al harama, says maybe the Rambam thinks it's misvara because when you pick up the ashes, you're also going to get yourself dirty. So it makes sense to be svara, but he's also quoting this pasuk that doesn't seem to be different than what the Gemara is quoting. Either way, we know most Rishonim say it's referring to Hotzas Adeshen. The Rambam adds on that it's also referring to Haramas Adeshen, the lifting of the ashes itself, not just carrying it out. But those are two quasi avodos that occurred in the Beis Hamikdash every day. Okay, so the Rambam will leave as a problem to do some more homework on. Okay, line 5. Amar Pkiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Genai hu l'tamad chacham sheyatza bimin olim hametulaim lashuk. It's a genai for a tamad chacham to go out with patched shoes in the shuk. We have this in Brachos because it doesn't look nice. You know, you have patches on your shoes. Harbiacha barchanina nafik. This rav, he went out with patched shoes. So I'm rabacha. Bray the rabanachan b'tzlai al gabay tzlai. No, he went out with patches on patches on patches that's been put together a lot. So one patch is okay, but where when you have totally patched up, you have patches all over the place, so that is what's a gnai to a Talmud Chacham. Next. V'yamarab, Ruchiyah bar Abba, Amar B'yochanan, called Talmud Chacham, she'nimsa revav al bigdo chayev misa. A Talmud Chacham who has a stain on his clothing, chayev misa. Rashi here says, shuman v'chelev. Right? Fats and kosher and non-kosher fats. I was trying to think, well, what's the significance? Who cares what the stain is made of? Shuman v'chelev. So Rashi is just probably contrasting it to the next line of the Gemara. But if you think of any lumdis on shuman v'chelev, why after those two? You know, those are kind of clear. They don't make such stains. You know, ketchup. You know, Rashi's not going to say ketchup, but those make real stains. But Rashi says, if you have a regular stain on your clothing, chayev misa. Shneamar kol misanai ohavu maves. The pasuk says, anybody who hates me, referring to Hashem or the Torah, ohavu maves, loves death. Al tikri misanai ela masni'ai. Right, where the Gemara says, switch it to hifil, masni'ai, which is the causative, causing somebody to hate me. So if a Talmud Chacham has a stain on his begadim, he causes others to hate Hashem or hate the Torah. Why? How does one do that? So Rabbeinu Chananel, on the side here, just says, it means because if people see you wearing a dirty shirt, they don't want to get close to you. They don't want to get dirty themselves. It says on top, she'eim b'nei adam dveikin bo shel yislach lech malbusha mimenu. So people aren't going to learn. You're the Talmud Chacham, you're supposed to teach them, and they're not going to want to come close to you because they're not going to want to get dirty. Rashi though says though what we would have thought. Rashi says people are going to say, "Oh, look at that guy! Look at that guy! Oh, it's disgusting! Oh, he's supposed to be a Talmud Chacham. His clothing is dirty." So Rashi says, "Vabrios omrim oyelohem lalom de Torah sheim usim umagunim." So different pshatim. What exactly is how one is going to make the others be sone Hashem by wearing these clothing with stains on them? Ravina ama revet itma. Ravina says, no, the reference of what's bad for a Talmud Chacham to have on his beged is referring to a specific type of stain, revet. Which is machlokas. Rashi here says it's shechva zera. The Rif says it's dried up blood, dam yavesh. Either way, it's a different type of stain, which I think that's why Rashi earlier had said shuman v'chelev, because just a contrast to what was going to be said in here. V'lo pligi, the Gemara says there's no real machlokas between these two opinions. Habaglima habalavusha. It's a question whether it's referring to the inner or the outer clothing that the person's wearing. On the outer clothing, any stain is bad, right? Because that's visible. On the inner clothing, the shuman v'chelev, the fats, you know, it's covered up, so it's not going to be so bad. But even if people notice it, it's on the inside. But if it's dam or shech mazara, then even on the inside, that's inappropriate. And therefore, one has to, Talmid Chacham has to be careful of that. Next, same person. Just like my servant Yeshayahu was walking naked and barefoot. So Yeshayahu Adabi wasn't really walking naked and barefoot. So what could it mean? So we have a connected drasha. Arum b'vgadim b'luim. He was naked when he's wearing worn out clothing. It's as if he's arum. V'yachay b'minalim hametulaim. Barefoot b'minalim hametulaim. Referring to the Gemara we just had. Patched up shoes, which is as good as being barefoot. Tanan Hasam, another Gemara about stains, quoting from Mishnah in Mikvos. Revava Mardeya Chotzeitz. If somebody has a Mardeya we've had before is a saddle of an animal. So if somebody has a stain on a Mardeya, you're about to tovel it, it's tummy. So you're toveling it in a mikvah. So if somebody has a stain on that Mardeya, Chotzeitz, so then that is Chotzeitz. That represents a chatzitza, and it will be ma'akev, it'll prevent the tefillah from taking place. The Mefarshim point out, though, that when somebody has a stain, it means that it has to really be something there. If the stain is like something, you wash something, and there's a mark still there, but you can't really feel anything, it just takes a couple of washes to come out, then that's not considered a chatzitza. If somebody has, if a woman has, you know, ink on her finger, and she washes it six times, and there's still a slight tinge of blue there, that's not a chatzitza. That's just chazusa ba'alma. That's just an appearance. So, but this is what we're talking about here. It must be a real revav, a real got a piece of cholent. You got a piece of something on the mardeya that represents a chatzitza. Rashi here notes chotzeitz called davar chotzeitz linyan tefila dekapit alei. He quotes the issue of kpeda, which the Rishash and other Akronim understand that Rashi is explaining this sheet of the Tanakhama, that any tiny amount on this Mardeya, on this saddle, a person, the Umdana, we assume that the person is Makpid on. That's what Rashi's quoting in Kapid Allah here. Why is Rashi quoting the issue of Kapid, that a person is Makpid about it? We know from Milchus Chatzitza that there are three levels of Chatzitza. The level chatzitza da'oraisa is rubo u'makpid, which is, it's on the majority of the item, and a person's makpid about it. That's a chatzitza da'oraisa. Chatzitza da'rabanan is one or the other. Either it's on the majority, let's say a person's in a wetsuit, and he's going to the mikvah. So that's on the majority of a person. That usually doesn't come up. But the other part that comes up is makpid. A person could have something on a miyot, on a minority of their body, but it's makpid that they don't like it there, they don't want it there. So rubo or makpid, that's chatzitza da'rabanan. Both is chatzitza d'oraisa, one of the other chatzitza d'rabanan. Lower than that, that's the minhag yisrael to remove. That's a minhag yisrael to remove if it's miyot she'eno makpid. But Rashi here is quoting to the Tanakhama is saying it's chotzeitz, this revav, l'chor, because Rashi wants it to be at least an issue, a real chatzitza d'rabanan. So Rashi interprets the Tanakhama as that if somebody has a stain on the saddle, it is chotzeitz any tiny amount because the person is makpid. Rav Shmuel Gamliel lomer ad k'iser hu'italki. Gamliel says no, it has to be the size of this type of Italian coin. Only if it's that size is it a chatzitza. Less than that, our people are in makpid, and therefore it does not represent the chatzitza. V'yala begadim mitzad echad ein chotzeitz b'sheis adam chotzeitz. On clothing, if somebody's toveling clothing, how much is a chatzitza? So if it's only seen through one side, mitzad echad ein chotzeitz, that's not such a chatzitza. It's only on one side, they'll wear it the other way. M'sheis adam, but if it could be seen both sides, it goes through chotzeitz, then it is a chatzitza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel is a continuation of the Mishnah. Af Misad Echad Chotzeitz. No, Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel says, no, even Misad Echad clothing is Chotzeitz. So, Ba'i Minei Rabshim Ben Lakish, Shemir Rabbi Chanina. Mardas Misad Echad O Mishnei Tzadim. What about the Mardas that we were talking about, the saddle? Does it have to go through both sides in order to be a Chatzitza, or just one side? So, Omer Le Zulo Shamati. I didn't hear specifically about that case. Kayotze Ba Shamati, but I heard something similar which we could apply the principle to. Ditznan, as the Mishnah there in the continuation says, Rabbi Yossi Omer shel banoin mitzad echad, clothing of banoin, which we'll see what that is in a minute, mitzad echad, only one side. We'll see, foreshadows already, the Gemara says, has two opinions. The first one means begadim of talmidei chachamim, which is the connection to our Gemara here. Mitzad echad, even one side, a seid on one side is a problem, because they have a very high level of cleanliness of their begadim, v'shel bur, but of an ignoramus, mishnei tzadim, you know, of an ama aretz, a halachic ama aretz, it has to be seen on both sides. V'lo tehei merdas, chashuvi v'vigdash al ama aretz. And merdas, a saddle, we assume has the same standard of chatzitza as a beg and ama aretz, and therefore, it needs the stain on both sides. But of the banayim, only one side is enough. End of the Mishnah. My banayim, and this is the connection back to what we were talking about. What does it mean, a chodik of banayim? What's a banah? Rabbi Yochanan, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim, Sheoskim Bebinyanu Shalom Kol Yemeim. This is referring to a Talmid Chacham, who are osek in building the world all their lives, right? We think that they're just sitting in and learning, and they're not contributing to the world, but Talmidei Chachamim and learning Torah, we know, is one of the amudin that the Torah stands on. And they're building the world, and that's why the reference of Banoin is to Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, another couple of maimers regarding different levels and standards of Talmidei Chachamim. The second paragraph of Metzia tells us that there's different halachas of Hashavas Aveda. So there are different levels. If I have an object to return to you, usually you have to give to me certain simanim, it has a crack here, and it has a mark here, you have to tell me simanim. But there are certain types of people, the Gemara say, Talmidei Chachamim, that you could give it back to them b'tzvias ayin, which means they just recognize it. Oh, that's mine, I recognize it. Even if they don't give you simanim, if a person is in the category of a certain Talmid Chacham, so then we give it back to them even without getting the simanim. So which type of Talmid Chacham, what does that Talmid Chacham have to do in order to reflect to us that he is on this level? Zeha makbid al chaluka lahovcho. Somebody who is makbid on his shirt, that if he put it on inside out by mistake, he'd switch it around and put it on the right way. Because Rashi explains he's makbid that he doesn't want people to see the hems or see the tag, so therefore he'll be makbid to turn it around. Like I saw it quoted between the Maharal. Maharal says that doesn't mean stam, that this guy is a Talmud, this shows that he's a Talmud Chacham, so he's given a high level of nemanis. No, the fact that he turns his shirt around shows that he's makbid on details, that he takes care in the little details of things, meaning he doesn't want his shirt inside out. Probably doesn't mean like what we have, you know, like a whole tag and it looks totally different. It might have been like a white shirt on both sides, and it's a little different, has a little hem, little strings on the inside. Doesn't look as much as inside out, but he was still makbid about it. This type of person, he's so makbid on details, it must be that he's makbid on his lost objects also, to focus on the details. That's what we give it back to him. It's logical. It's not just Stam, he has a high level of nemanis. But if he's makbid on details so much to turn around his shirt, so too, we will give back his aveda to him, because it must be that he is focuses on the details. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, six lines up. Rabbi Yochanan also says, which type of Talmid Chacham do we appoint as a leader on the tzibur? If a Talmid Chacham is asked a Dvar Halacha, b'chol makom. Rashi says, b'chol hashas. Right, that's Rashi, b'chol hashas. Right, if he's asked about anything in shas, and he could answer, v'afilu b'meseches kala. What is that? Filu Meseches Kala. So if you look in the back of Avodah Zarah and Harios, there are a few Meseches Ketanos. Meseches Derech Eretz, Meseches Kala, Meseches Zuta, there's Meseches Kala Rabasi, a few of the Meseches Smachos, which is all about Hilchas Avelis, which we referred to a little bit before. So all of these little Meseches, the way the Pashas of Argamar, the way Rashi interprets it here, Avodah Meseches Kala, he doesn't just know Shas. He even knows the Meseches that aren't in the Daf Yomi. He even knows Meseches Kala. He even knows all these little Meseches that we don't usually learn. Even those he knows, that's the Talmid Chacham that you appoint as a leader upon Klal Yisrael. Tosas here points out that in other Gemaras, Rashi seems to interpret differently. That there's a Gemara in Kedushin that says, if a man goes to a woman and says, I'll be married to you, you're allowed to make a condition when you get married. Amanas that arranged tomorrow. Amanas that whatever. So you say, Amanas that I'm a Talmid Chacham. Right? So is he a Talmid Chacham or not? What's the standard? So Gemara says, he doesn't have to be like the greatest Talmid Chacham as long as he knows Meseches Kala. So it sounds like that's low on the totem pole. What do you mean? Here it says even Meseches Kala. So right, Tosas explains the top Tosas that no, it's no steer. It could be that even if he just knows Meseches Kala, that's also good enough. If he skipped everything else, and here it means that even if he knows Meseches Kala after everything else, not a steer. There's another interpretation of what Kala means. Maybe it means Meseches Kala, that he knows everything that he learned at the Yarchei Kala. Tosas in Rabbeinu Yitzchak quotes Yarchei Kala, the get-together that they used to have before the Yom Tovim. They had it before Pesach and Sukkot. Shavuos is a question. We had it with Kiva Eger and Meseches Brachos, if you remember back, whether it applies to Shavuos as well. But that's the second shot of what Kala means. Not Meseches Kala, but it means everything that the Bnei HaYeshiva said at the convention that year, at the Yarchei Kala. Okay, so that's the type of leader that you appoint on the Jews, as long as he knows even Meseches Kala. Keep that in mind for three lines from now. That Memra. Which Tamar Chacham are the people of the city commanded to do his work, meaning who should be supported, and he shouldn't have to do his own work? Only somebody who leaves his own Chafatzim and is Osek and is totally engrossed in Chafzei Shemayim. And he's totally, Rashi here quotes what the source for this halacha is, but somebody who totally leaves his own chafatzim and is osek in spiritual chafatzim. V'hani mili l'mishach b'rifte. And this is only to provide him with basic necessities. Rifte is bread. You don't have to give him trips to the fancy places. You don't have to give him his basic necessities if you're supporting somebody. You don't have to get him the fanciest cars and the fanciest everything else. The Aruch HaShulchan Hilchas Tamar Torah writes that this halacha does not really apply b'zman hazeh. It only applies to somebody who was Torasso Umnaso, like Rosh Hashanah Yochai, who learned every second of the day. He didn't stop to do mitzvahs. He didn't stop to daven. Right? That's he. Only he on Erev Pesach Chol Yisrael Shabbos learned instead of Shalosh Shudas. Right? So that's not quoted in Hilchas Shabbos. But so he says, but this is a halacha that we should know the halacha, but it doesn't really apply b'zman hazeh because it's not Torasso Umnaso. Obviously, there are ideas of supporting somebody who is learning. There are Yisachar Zvulun relationships, but the chiyuv of the community to support this type of person, he says, it might not apply b'zman hazeh because we don't have anybody on the level of Torasso Umnaso. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, and now we're going to relate back to what we just said two lines ago. Ezo Tabar Chacham, who is the Tabar Chacham? L'inyin what? We'll get to. Kol sheshoalon oso halacha b'chol makom ba'omra. Anybody who can answer any question b'chol makom. Sounds pretty similar. L'may nafgamino l'minu yiparnas al atzibur. Right? To appoint him, may nafgamino, that he's a Talmud Chacham, to know that you can appoint him on the tzibur. So didn't we just have this three lines ago? That who's a Talmud Chacham? That you can appoint on the tzibur? Somebody who can answer everything. So Tosfos at the end of that, Tosfos on top asks, isn't this the same thing as before? So Tosfos says, the chiddush is the next line. Ibachad mesechta ba'asrei, if you can answer regarding the Masechta that you're doing, when you're learning Masechta Shabbos, he can answer you a question about Masechta Shabbos. Ibekuli tenuya b'reish b'sifta. But if he can answer you about anything, about any time in the world, in any Masechta, then he becomes Rosh Hashiva. Not only becomes the rabbi of that city, but he could become the Rosh Hashiva of the whole yeshiva. So that is why, that's the chiddush of this line. Yeah. It's exactly. It's wrong. We had in brachas that it's wrong to ask somebody something that you're not learning, that he's not up to. That's true. We had that in both, and then we had the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. We also had that he said, "You're lucky that he knew it." Right? You're lucky that he knew it, because if he didn't have known it, you wouldn't have embarrassed him. So you're right. But there are chiyuvim on the Talmud. There are chiyuvim on the Rebbe. This is, I guess, even if the Talmud does something, right? Shol shalok keinyan. He doesn't have to be answered first, but he has to be answered. Okay. Good chazara. Fourth wide line. The Gemara now says maybe there's another pshat of banoim. Right, we had one shot of banan that meant Talmidei Chachamim, and then we got off to a couple of other statements about Talmidei Chachamim. Rav Shimon Lakish says maybe there's a second shot of banaim. Elu kelim ha'ul yarin habamim dinasayam. Maybe the banaim are the kelim, the towels of the bathhouse owners, the bathhouse workers who come from dinasayam. Meaning they also are machbid. The kelim of banaim, the Gemara earlier said that they're machbid even mitzad echad, which means they're very careful about their clothing. You want to keep it clean. So too, these types of towels are kept very. People are going to put them on right after their shower, after their bath. So people take good care of them to make sure that they are in good condition. So lemeimer the chivrin inu. Does this mean to say that they're white? The kelim, these bath towels are white because we're talking about stains on them. If it was dark clothing, then right, it wouldn't show. So it must be, are we to assume they're white? Amalu de Barabiana Labanov. Barabiana said to his children, Bini, Altikruni, Lobakilim, Lavanim, Lobakilim, Shchorim. Don't bury me in white or black clothing. White or black tachrichin. Lavanim, don't bury me in white tachrichin. Shemelo eskeve eikachas ben avelim. Maybe I won't be zocha to sit in Gan Eden. And if I'm in white, and I'm amongst the people in Gehenim, says Rabbianai, then I'm going to be wearing white, everybody else is going to be wearing black. So I'm going to be an outsider there. Shchorim, so even if you're in Gehenim, you'd rather fit in. Right? So even if I don't want to be wearing white. Get shachorim, don't wrap me in black. Shema eskeve eya ka'avah ben chasanim. Right? But don't wrap me in black, because maybe I will be zocha into Gan Eden, and I'll be wearing black amongst everybody else wearing white. Ella bekelim ha'ul yarin ha'bami d'rasayam. But wrap me in kelim ul yarin, which is mashpah that what? They're not white. It's mashpah they're medium. Almosumke ninu. Right? They're red. Right? So Rabbiana, the fact that he says don't wrap me in black or white clothing, but wrap me in ul yarin clothing, mashpah that they're not black and white. But we just had from the previous Gemara that they are white, because we're mocking about the stains. So lokash, the Gemara says no stira, habaglimi habalavushe. It depends if we're talking about the towels, we're talking about the what people wear on the outside, right? Or maybe wear right when they come out of the bath. So right when they come out of the bath, those are the ones that they're white, and they have to keep them clean. The outer clothing is those are the ones that might have been colored overall. Well, I'm sorry? This way he won't fit in anywhere. That's a good question, right? If he's wearing red, then he's not black or white. It's a good question. That's question one. Question two is the discussion. The Ravid quotes this Gemara against the Rambam. Right, Hilchos Tshuva, we can already start. 2 weeks to Rosh Chodesh Elul. Right, but Hilchos Tshuva, Paraches. The Rambam says, in the end of Paraches, Rambam in two places in Mishnah Torah talks about what's going to be in the future. Olam Haba, Tchias HaMesim, Yimas HaMashiach. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva a little bit, and the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, all the way at the beginning and at the end of Mishnah Torah. So in Hilchos Shuvah Paraches, the Rambam writes, Ha'olam Haba, Ein Bo Guf Ugvia. Again, this is a deep one for very early in the morning, but Olam Haba, there's no bodies, there's no physical bodies, Ela Nefashos, Nafshos HaTzadikim Bilvad, Below Guf Kemalachai Asharis. It's all spiritual. Ha'olam Ein Bo Gvios, and since there's no Guf, Ein Bo Lo Achila, Velo Shasiya, Velo Davar, Bikal Dvarim She Gufos, Bnei Adam, Suichan Lohem, Bolam Hazeh. There's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no sitting, there's no standing, there's no nothing. Right? There's nothing. Ela tzadikim yoshim v'atroseim b'roshayim b'nenim izev ha'shchina. The tzadikim will be sitting with the crowns on their head and getting pleasure from the ziv ha'shchina. What does that mean? The Rambam says, sheyodin u'masigin me'amitas ha'kadosh baruch hu. Mash'en yodin. V'hein b'guf afel ha'shafel. We'll have clarity of vision of the divine, of Hashem. We'll see pure emes. Right, this whole world is a world of sheker. Right, we see terrible tragedies. We see things olam hafachu. And all, what does it mean that we'll get hanah from the ziv hashchina? That we'll see a Kodesh Baruch Hu as much as we can see emes. So everything's going to be spiritual. So the Ravid says, Amar Avraham divri zeha ish beinai krovim l'misha omer ein tchias amesim l'gufos el neshamas bavad. It sounds like for the Rambam that tchias amesim is only going to be spiritual, nothing to do with the bodies. The Ravid says that there are about 10 Gemaras that seem to say that there's going to be something physical in the future. He says, V'chayi Roshi! He says, I have a headache. Me'olam, it doesn't really mean I have a headache, but he says, whoa! He says, it's a lashon of Shvuah. Me'olam lohayadas chachmei Talmud al zeh. He says, the chachmei Talmud never believed that it was going to be totally spiritual. He quotes four Gemaras, the second one. He says, V'chein hayim mitzavin lebeneihem, Shabbos kuf yudalid, atik beruni bekelim levanim, v'lo bishchom shemeske. Right, what do you get? Yana's telling his kids, Rabbi Yana, right, don't bury me in this and that, because sounds like the clothing is going to be there. Tzorechi, and he says, v'lo yeh mashal. He says, a lot of this is not going to be a mashal, you have to take it literally. That's not close between the Rambam and the Ravid. So what's the answer for the Rambam? It's the answer for the Rambam, what do you have to say? So the Kesef Mishnah already says, another Mefarshim already say, that it's there are different levels. Olam Haba is one level, but the Rambam talks about what there's going to be Mosa Mashiach, there's going to be Olam Haba, there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, and so there's a Radvaz. The Shuvah of the Radvaz quoted in the back of the Frankel, but it's a Shuvah of the Radvaz. He says the whole concept of Tchias HaMesim. What is Tchias HaMesim? That something is dead that's going to come back alive. So of course you can't say it's just an Neshama, because the Neshama never dies. The Neshama is always there. So what's Tchias HaMesim? You have to believe in Tchias HaMesim. And if you live in Tchias HaMesim, there has to be some level that's going to be the physical body coming back. So the Rambam has to agree to that. Or else there's no concept of Tchias HaMesim. The body is already dead and the Neshama never dies. So there has to be a level. There's just different stages. So the Rambam, the Rambam calls it this, the Rambam calls it that. The Rambam himself says at the end of Hilchos Malachim, you know, don't be osek in this stuff too much because we don't really know what's going to be until it is. And just trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu that it's going to happen. It's going to be good. Either way, this is Machlokas based on this Gemara. Okay, here we go. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Makaplan, six lines from the bottom, two dots. So the Mishnah said that Rabbi Shmuel held that you're allowed to fold. Right, if you look back on the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Shmuel says Makaplan is a kelim, and you're allowed to make the beds from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, and not from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. And you're allowed to burn leftovers. Leftovers from Shabbos can be burned on Yom Kippur, but not vice versa. What does that mean? So Rabbi Shmuel seems to hold that Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Kippur, and therefore you could prepare from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, right? You can make beds from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, and you're not allowed to have leftovers of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. You could have Shabbos leftovers on Yom Kippur. Leftovers, I mean, sacrificial leftovers. That if you have leftovers from the Mizbeach of Yom Kippur, it cannot be burned on Shabbos, but Shabbos can be burned on Yom Kippur. That was Shittas Rabbi Yishmael. Says the Gemara, what's the source for that? Tanu Rabbanan, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato. The Pasuk says, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, but the Gemara darshins the word as if it said B'Shabbas and B'Shabbato. B'Shabbas is an inclusion, B'Shabbato, the added vav, is an exclusion. So, limei, number one, al-chev le-shabbos akrivim b'yom ha-kippurim. This is the first opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that leftovers of Shabbos, the fats of Shabbos that were not finished being burned on Shabbos, can be burned on Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday. Yom tal yachol af shal yom ha-kippurim b'shabbos. What happens if, would we say the same thing about shal yom ha-kippurim b'shabbos if Yom Kippur is on Friday? Again, it can't happen according to our calendar. But if Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, could you burn the leftovers of Yom Kippur on Shabbos? Tamal omer, no, b'shabbato, on that it's Shabbos and not on a different Shabbos, Dibur b'shmol. So leftovers of Shabbos can be burned on Yom Kippur, but not vice versa. Rabbi Kiva omer, Rabbi Kiva says no. Ola Shabbos b'shabbato, limen al chalvi Shabbos akrivin b'yontif. Rabbi Kiva says no, Shabbos and Yom Kippur are both you can't burn on either, can't burn leftovers on either one. What can you do? You can burn Shabbos leftovers on Yontif. Yochel af b'yom ha-kippurim. I might think you could even burn Shabbos leftovers on Yom Kippur. Tamal omer b'shabbato. So it's a machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether you could burn the Shabbos leftovers on Yom Kippur, whether Shabbos has a higher kedusha or they're similar, same level kedushas. And now the Gemara says, really the machlokas starts a step back. The machlokas isn't just about how you darshan this pasuk, but there's a previous halacha that is the reason why they darshan the pesukim differently. Kishatim salomer l'diver Rabbi Shmuel nedarim b'nedavos kreiv b'yontif. There's a separate halacha. Let's say I make a neder or a nedava. Right, neder is I owe a carbon. Nedava is this carbon is going to the Beis Hamikdash. Right, neder is focused on me. A nedava is focused on the chefs of the object. So let's say I make a neder. I'm going to bring my shepsula to the Beis Hamikdash. So I'm not going to make a special trip to Yerushalayim. So most of the time, what people did was they brought them up around Yontif time. So on Yontif time, you bring it up for Yontif. Are you allowed to give them on Yontif? You allowed to be makav them on Yontif? You have to wait till Chol Hamoed. Because a lot of malachas are involved. Shechita, okay, shechita is mutter on Yantip. What about burning it and skinning it? And all these are malachas. So if it's a tamid, the tamid has to be burned that day. So then that's mutter. But what about a nether and a dove? I can bring a chalamoid. Am I allowed to bring that on Yantif itself? That's a machlokas tanoim. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that you're allowed to bring them on Yantif. So even a nether and a dove you can bring on Yantif. So Rashi explains, so it's a kal v'chomer that, let's say Shabbos falls out before Yantif, so the Shabbos leftovers you could bring on Yantif, because that was, Shabbos karbanos were supposed to be brought that day. They had to be brought that day. So if you could bring the dharma and the davis on Yantif, so then you could surely bring Shabbos leftovers on Yantif. So what's left for the pasuk to teach me? That even Shabbos leftovers can be brought on Yom Kippur. That's why, because you know from a kal v'chomer that Shabbos leftovers can be brought on Yontif, you don't need the pasuk to teach me that. So the pasuk must be teaching me an added chiddush. The chiyitzer kol yom kippurim. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Fine. Well, Dibur Rabbi Kiva, but Rabbi Kiva holds the opposite. Nedarim and Nedavos ain't kriven miyantif. So according to Rabbi Kiva, Nedarim and Nedavos, voluntary karbanos cannot be brought on Yantif. Therefore, what you need the pasuk to teach me is that Shabbos leftovers can be brought on Yantif. Because there's no kal v'chomer to teach me that. For these are called the Mishra B'yantif, period. And therefore, there's no pasuk to teach me about Yom Kippur. That's why he doesn't hold it by Yom Kippur. That according to Rabbi Kiva, Shabbos and Yom Kippur are equal kedushas on the same level, and you can't bring leftovers of one on the other. Okay, last three words. Amar Abzeir. Abzeir tells us, Ki avina b'Bavel, havi amri, when I was in Babel, they used to say... We've had a couple of stories about Reb Zeira. He was one of the ones that wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't want Rabbi Yehuda to see him, because Rabbi Yehuda said that if you go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, over Ba'aseh, so Reb Zeira, but he made it to Eretz Yisrael. So, Ki Avinu B'Bavel, he says, when I used to be in Bavel, Havi Amri, Havitani, Yom Kippurim, Shechol Yisrael, Erev Shabbos, Lo Hayu Tokin, B'Motzei Shabbos, Lo Hayu Mavdilin, L'Divrei Yakol. I used to say that when Yom Kippur fell on an Erev Shabbos, there were no tekiyos. We had in Baba Malikin that there were certain tekiyos that they used to blow Erev Shabbos, so that people will know that Shabbos is coming, you should stop doing certain malachas. So says Reb Zeira that when I was in Babel, they used to say that when Yom Kippur fell out on Friday, they didn't have tekiyos in between. And when Yom Kippur fell out on Sunday, they didn't make Havdalah in between. And I used to think that was according to everybody, Divrei HaKolhi. Kisaligna lahasam, meaning what's the Rebbe called? Both Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Yishmael, the two opinions that we're talking about. Kisaligna lahasam, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashachiti lahuda breder of Shimon Pazi, I found this person, the Yosef Ka'ama Rebbe Akiva. He used to tell me that this was really Rebbe Akiva, who said that when Yom Kippur and Shabbos are next to each other, you don't need the Tzkiyas on Friday, you don't need the Havdalah on Motzi Shabbos. The E Rebbe Yishmael, because according to Rebbe Yishmael, you would need. Why? Kivan to Amar Chalvi Shabbos Kribim B'Yom Kippurim, because Rebbe Yishmael says that Shabbos leftovers can be sacrificed on Yom Kippur, so Liska, we should have to blow when Yom Kippur falls out on Friday. Ki hechi delevi yadi dechalvi Shabbos Kribim B'Yom Kippurim. So that we know, you should blow on Friday, so we know that Shabbos leftovers can be given on Yom Kippur when Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday. Rashi says to understand this line, you have to add in a step here. The Gemara is missing a step. You should blow when Yom Kippur falls out on Friday. You should blow Tkiyas then, between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, so that people know in other years that there are different Kedushas between these 2 days. You're going up in Kedusha from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, so that in another year, when Yom Kippur falls out after Shabbos, people will know that you could sacrifice the Shabbos leftovers on Yom Kippur. Again, the Gemara says, blow on Friday, when Yom Kippur is on Friday, so that people know that you can give Shabbos leftovers on Yom Kippur. What do you mean? But blowing on Friday means Yom Kippur is on Friday. Yom Kippur is on Sunday. So you have to add in that line into the Gemara. Blow on Friday, late Friday, when Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, so that they know that there are two different Kedushas here, so that in another year, when Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday, the Kohanim will know that they could sacrifice the leftovers on Sunday on Yom Kippur. So that's what Rabbi Zera says. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I heard that you should blow on Friday when Yom Kippur is on Friday. V'yamina le'anav, Rabbi Zera said, I told them, Kohanim Zerizim Hei. Kohanim or Zaris. Kohanim don't need reminders. They'll take care of things, and therefore you don't have to blow to remind them. So that's why it's even according to Divrei HaKol, that you don't have to blow when Yom Kippur is on Friday, and you don't have to make Abdullah when Yom Kippur is on Sunday. Do we really say that Kohanim is Rizim? Do we say that concept? We've had that a little bit before. But we have a Mishnah that says in Sukkah, the Mishnah there lists all the days during the year that you blow a certain amount of tkiyas. On Sukkot you blow this amount, and on Pesach you blow this amount of tkiyas in the base of Mikdash. So among the, and the Gemara lists off, what are the tkiyas? You have this amount by the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar, Shabbat Arbayim, by the Nisach HaMayim, by the Nisach HaYayin. You have all different tkiyas during the day. The Hatznan, but some of them are, on Friday, Shalosh Lahavdil Sa'ami Malacha, Shalosh Lahavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. You see in the base of Mikdash, they blew tkiyas to stop people from work, and to be Mechalek, and the differentiation between Kodesh L'chol. Even in the base of Mikdash, they blew tkiyas. So obviously the Kohanim also need reminders. So what do you mean Kohanim's so Gemara says no. Kidamar Abaye l'shar amba diBirushalayim. Like Abaye says regarding something else in the base of Mikdash, they blow in the Mikdash so that the whole city of Yerushalayim hears. The Kohanim don't need the reminders, but they blow there so that everybody else hears. So Hachanaim l'shar amba diBirushalayim. So to hear, they blow for the rest of the people in Yerushalayim, but really the Kohanim don't need the reminder. Period. Sorry? Right. Lahavdil Sa'am, the first line. At least the first line says Lahavdil Sa'am. The second one is Lahavdil Mikodesh L'chol, so that could be referring to the Kohen. Okay, Veliska. Right, so right, everybody, we have to start at 6:10, so that way we'll be able to finish on time. Veliska. So Chizuk, I've got to get back into it. Veliska, don't worry. We're not going to go 2 minutes over time. Veliska. Asks the Gemara, okay, forget Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. I have a question. According to everybody, there's something you could do on Yom Kippur that you can't do on Shabbos. And therefore you should blow or make Abdullah either way to differentiate, to say that it's mutzah to do the following on Yom Kippur. What's that? Knivas Yerek. What's Knivas Yerek? Some type of peeling off of a vegetable in order to prepare it for after Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, you're allowed to do this preparation of the vegetable on Yom Kippur afternoon, late afternoon. You're allowed to do it. Why? What's the potential malacha? So the way that Rashi is quoted in other Rishonim, in the Rashba and the Ritva, it sounds like you're taking off the bad leaves in order to prepare it to have to eat it right away at Motzei Shabbos. So Rishonim ask on that, but that's an Issa D'Oraisa of Borer. So how could you say that's talking about this or Borer? That's what we're talking about you're allowed to do? We'll get for what reason? So they say that doesn't mean taking off the bad leaves. It just means, you know, you're peeling it a little bit, you're getting it ready. But others say that Magen Mishnah quotes this idea of Rashi. He says, no, it's not Borer, because it's really edible. It's just edible idea, it's chak. But it's really not borer, really means two minim, as we discussed on Shabbos afternoons. Two minim, two types. But here is really one type. It's just taken off the not as edible. But anyway, so this says the Gemara, why don't you blow to differentiate between the Kedusha of Yom Kippur and Shabbos? Because everybody agrees you could do this preparation on Yom Kippur. Why? So Rashi here explains, you know why you're allowed to do this on Yom Kippur, even though it's Hachana? That's the potential problem. You prepare for Yom Kippur, because when you prepare food late on Yom Kippur, it makes it even harder, Yom Kippur. Because you're osek in food and you can't eat it, so it's more inui. It's an additional part of your inui, of your afflicting yourself, because you're preparing food and you can't eat it. The Ran says the opposite. The Ran says that here, Membez Membez, in the Dafi Arif, the Ran says no, it means because Hashem doesn't want you to have to starve right after Yom Kippur. Right? So at least you can do some preparation on Yom Kippur, so it can be ready right after Yom Kippur. Achokas Rashi and the Ran, why it's mutter. But either way, says the Gemara, you should be able to blow to show everybody that Knivas Yerek is mutter, late in the day. Amr of Yosef, no, Lefish ain't doch in Shvus Lahatir. No, blowing shofar itself is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Right? It's a Shvus on Yom Kippur and Shabbos. So blowing shofar, we're not going to blow shofar, violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, just to tell you you're allowed to do something. You blow shofar to tell people you can't do something anymore. You have to stop malacha. But to violate a D'Rabbanan, to tell you have a heter, we don't do that. Rav Shisha Breder Avidi, Amar Shvus Krobahi, Tiru Shvus Rechoka, Lo Itiru. Rav Shisha Breder Avidi says that no, fundamentally, you would violate an Issa D'Rabbanan to tell people about a heter, but only about an immediate heter. What are we talking about here? We're talking about Yom Kippur that falls out on Friday. So we're going to say you're allowed to, you blow shofar because to tell people that you're allowed to prepare this vegetable. But one second, a Yom Kippur that's on Friday, you're not going to be doing this because you can't cook it that night anyway. It's Shabbos. So you're going to be blowing it to teach me that in another year, you're able to do this Knivas Yerek. That we're not going to allow. If it's an immediate heter, we'll blow shofar. We'll violate it. This is Rabban to tell you about immediate heter. But we're not going to blow this year to teach me that next year you'll be able to do Knivas Yerek. You'll be able to prepare this vegetable on Shabbos. That we won't go so far. Shvus Krova Hitiru, a Shvus to give you an immediate heter we will allow, but not a Shvus Rechoka. A few more lines, Shvus Krova Hitiru. Do we really allow violent Nisidra Abanan for an immediate heter? Vahatzan, we learned in the Mishnah in Chulin, Yomtiv, Shechalias Erev Shabbos. Token below Mavdilin, Yomtiv that falls out on Friday, meaning you're going up in Kedusha, you blow shofar to tell people to stop work, but you don't make Havdalah. The rule is, Tkios is always when you're going up in Kedusha, Havdalah is always when you're going down in Kedusha. Right? Havdalah is from Shabbos to Yomtiv, or from Shabbos to Chol, or from Yomtiv to Chol. That's Havdalah. Tzkiyus in the olden days where to get people to stop doing work. That's when you're going up in Kedusha. So the Mishnah says in Chulin that when Yom Tov on Friday, you do Tzkiyus and not Havdalah. Motzi Shabbos Mavdilim Lo Token. On Motzi Shabbos, you make Havdalah and you don't blow. V'yamai Liska Kiyechid Delidid Deshari B'Shchita La'Alter. One second. Why don't you blow on Motzi Shabbos in order to make sure people know that now they could shecht. They couldn't shecht on Shabbos and it's Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to shecht. Why don't you blow right after Shabbos? It's an immediate heter. Is an immediate heter, that's Shvus Krova, say Elam Chavedik of Rav Yosef. Okay, you're right. Forget this answer. Go back to what Rav Yosef said, and that means Shvus Krova Hitiru. Even Shvus Krova, you're not Matir. We don't violate Yisurei D'Rabbanan to tell people about a heter. Okay, we'll stop here. The next few lines we'll go quickly. We'll stop here. We'll talk more about Hashem tomorrow about Knivas Yerek. Can we do that? No. Okay, so today's Shia was Zechan Ishmas. Somebody? Fush. Rabbi Yosef ben Isaac Yehuda. Zechen Hashmaso. Can everybody please, let's get back into it. Let's come at 6:10. Let's start on time so we can really get the full 50 minutes. And so everybody's listening on the web. I know you all tried to come to Menachem. Let's all try to come to me also. And let's give chizik to everybody else here. And let's move on in Shas. Tomorrow, Ben Shem, we start a new parish. And we can't wait. Amen. Amen.